When you adopt the spiritual mindset of ownership, you have now partnered with Satan.
Dr. Tony Evans reminds us that God never made us owners, only managers.
Yes, salvation is free. Heaven is free. The price has already been paid, but your stewardship is a responsibility.
This is the Alternative Broadcast, featuring the timeless biblical teachings from the archives of Dr. Tony Evans. The old saying goes, what's mine is mine. But what if it isn't? That's what Dr. Evans explores today as he explains why what we thought were rights are really responsibilities. Let's join him.
Nobody likes somebody coming into their home as a visitor acting like an owner. Fact is, we don't even like some folk who stay in our home acting like an owner. We had a little father-daughter confrontation. A situation. So she was in this rebellious mode. Now you have to understand, she pays no rent. Never even offered to pay no rent. Didn't buy any food. Didn't buy any clothes. But she won't tell me what to do. I told her, no, it's not gonna work like that. So she got mad and stomped off while I was talking. And I said to her, where you think you're going? She said, I'm going to my room. To which I said, no, you're going to the room I let you sleep in. Because you don't own this. God has trouble with a lot of his kids who want to argue with him in his house. His house in the Bible is called all creation. For the earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world and all they that dwell in it. It's his house. And he calls it the kingdom. His rule over everything he has made. God has made it clear that there's only one owner, and you and I are not he or it. That you absolutely own nothing, including your own life, because it can be taken from you. God has made it clear that he created mankind to be managers or stewards of what he has entrusted to them, but they were never ever to opt or take a position of ownership. A lot has been entrusted to you, me, us, but not ownership. And the moment you claim ownership, you have now claimed idolatry, which makes you a divine competitor. You are now competing with the owner when he's only called you to be a manager. God has given us a call to management of what he owns. When the story opens up in Matthew chapter 25, we read the phrase in verse 14, for it is just like, it is just like. What's the it? Well, in verse 1 of chapter 25, he says, then the kingdom of heaven will be compared to. At the end of the story, in verse 31, he says, but when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. The kingdom of heaven is like, he'll sit on his throne. A king sits on a throne. The kingdom, the king, he's talking about how the kingdom works. In order to help us understand how the kingdom works, Jesus tells a parable. A parable is a story designed to teach a lesson. So Jesus tells this story to help us understand his ownership, our stewardship, and how this whole thing works and why it matters. He says in verse 14 that a man goes on a long journey and he takes three slaves and entrusts his possessions to them according to their ability. So let's pause right there. The man goes on the journey. He calls three of his slaves and he says, now I'm going to give you 5 talents, I'm going to give you 2 talents, and I'm going to give you 1 talent, because I'm only going to give you what I know you can handle according to your ability. Now, a talent was a weight of worth, a weight of worth. If you were a slave in Jesus's day, it would take you 20 years to accumulate a full talent. That's how valuable a talent was. Let me put it another way. If the talent in biblical days was transposed to be dollars and cents today, a talent would be worth $1.4 million. So when we talk about a talent, we're not talking about a minimum weight, we're talking about a maximum weight of worth. So he deposits the talents. The three arenas of talent that have been entrusted to you and me and us. Everybody has all three. We just don't have the same amount of all three. Gave 1.5, 1.2, and 1.1. So there were different amounts, but we all possess the same three. Let me just introduce them now. The first thing that we have that has been entrusted to us is time. Says he went on a journey for a long time. You and I have time. We don't have the same amount of time, but we do have the fact of time. When the Bible talks about time, it's not merely talking about tick-tock, 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 tick-tock. No. When the Bible talks about time, it's talking about the arena in which opportunities exist. So time is the arena in which opportunities exist to accomplish things through this linear reality of time. And we all have it because we all exist in it. So that's one thing. Second thing we all have is talent in terms of a capacity and an ability to be productive. Because he's expecting them to produce something. So there was capacity. Everyone in here has God-given capacity of productivity as a manager under an owner. They were expected to be productive in their time. Now, the story says that guy number one had five talents, and he went out and he got productive and doubled it, five more talents. The second guy had two talents, went out and doubled it. He was productive, so he has now four talents. It says slave number three dug a hole and put his talent in the hole. Oh, now it gets interesting. Because we're told in verse 19, now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. Jesus is talking obviously about himself. He's been gone a long time, but I think I need to serve notice on me, you, and us. Jesus is going to come back, and when he comes back, there will be an accounting. It's his time, it's his talent, it's his resource on loan to us that he wants us to use for him. The one who received five talents in verse 20 says, Master, here, you gave me five, I've doubled it. His master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Door number two, slave number two comes, say, Master, I've doubled it. The master said to him in verse 23, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things, but I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Ah, but now we come to door number three. The one, verse 24, who had received one talent. Master, I know you a hard man. Reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was scared. I was afraid. So I went away and I hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours. Wait a minute, Master. It ain't all bad. I ain't double it, but I ain't lose it. Because here, right here, it's in the dirt. Let me dig this thing up here. It's in the dirt. Here's your talent. So I can't show you where I did anything with it, but at least I didn't lose it. Jesus' statement to the man is, you wicked, lazy slave. You knew I was a hard man. In other words, you knew I had high demands. If you cared a little bit, you would at least put it in the bank. That wasn't that hard. You would have put it in the bank and said, and I would have at least gotten some interest. Now, granted, it would be low interest. No, your problem is you're evil. Wicked means evil. That's why he put it in a hole. See, if you put it in the bank keeps a record. When you put it in a hole, there is no record. Like putting it under your mattress. There's no record. It's only you who know where it is. He didn't want a record because he's playing the end against the middle. Let me explain. If he comes back, I got his money. But if he doesn't come back, I got my money. I got this thing covered. So if he comes back, I at least got his money. But if he doesn't come back, I know where this is. And it'll be available to me. So I want to protect myself enough that I'm not a total failure. At least I came to church. At least I sat in church because at least God can't say I didn't do anything. I came to church. I did a little something. But at the same time, I'm not going to spend my life on kingdom stuff. I got other things to do. I got places to go, people to see, money to make, positions to acquire, and education to achieve. I got all this stuff for me. And I don't have time for this stuff that belongs to this man, even though that's the same stuff I'm using for me. You see, at the heart of this guy's problem, he's not sure he's willing to risk it all on the fact that the master's coming back. See, that's his issue. You play the end against the middle. See, that's what a lot of people do. They're religious enough to say, I believe in God, but they don't believe there is an accounting from God.
Dr. Evans will have more on the responsibility of kingdom stewardship when he continues our message in just a moment. Now, if today's broadcast has you thinking about how to use the resources God's entrusted to you, we'd love to help you explore that more fully. Dr. Evans' book, Kingdom Stewardship, explains why stewardship is about far more than money and how managing God's resources His way brings lasting fulfillment. For a limited time, we're bundling this powerful book along with a host of matching resources, making them available in return for your financial support of the Alternative Ministry. The complete Kingdom Stewardship package includes the book, all 12 full-length audio messages from the series, an in-depth study guide, and a leader's kit with downloadable video teaching sessions, ideal for personal study or for leading a Bible study or fellowship group. Learn more and request the Kingdom Stewardship Bundle today at tonyevans.org. Or call 1-800-800-3222, where one of our friendly team members is ready to help with your request any time of the day or night. Again, that's tonyevans.org, or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. Well, let's rejoin Dr. Evans now for part two of today's lesson.
You remember the movie Lilies of the Field with Sidney Poitier. In that movie, he's trying to build this house of worship for the nuns, this church for the nuns. And he goes to this banker who he wants to get some support to build this edifice for the nuns. But he tells him, no, I'm not a religious guy. I'm not into all of this religious stuff. So I'm not the guy. But later on, when they're constructing the edifice, he's on the roof helping. So Sidney Poitier comes up to him and says, but I thought you weren't a religious guy. He says, I'm not, but just in case. Just in case this thing is real, I want at least a little something to show. No, you own nothing. God owns it all. He's entrusted it all to you to manage for Him. That's why the Bible can say in 1 Corinthians 10:31, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God, because it's all His. That's why the Bible says whatever you get, receive with thanksgiving, because it didn't come from you. It's utilized by you. You benefit from it. That's fine. You can't own it. I mean, I know what we mean when we talk from human to human about owning this or owning that. But in terms of a mindset, whenever you adopt ownership, you adopt wickedness, which means you have partnered and joint ventured with Satan. When you adopt the spiritual mindset of ownership, you have now partnered with the devil, because the devil wanted to take ownership from God. So many a person, even Christians, have a joint venture relationship with the devil because they claim ownership while they pray for God to bless them. Why would you bless somebody, help somebody, deliver somebody who wants to steal your property? Kingdom stewardship is the responsibility to faithfully oversee the protection and expansion of the resources that God has entrusted us with to manage on His behalf. And now it gets real interesting. Put on your seatbelt. Verse 28, therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. That stuff he hid, take it. And give it to the guy who maximized his kingdom potential. Here's the principle, verse 29. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But to the one who doth not have, even what he has shall be taken away. Ooh. So God is taking back his stuff, because it's his. It's his possession. So since I'm not included in your program, I'm taking it back and I'm gonna hand it to somebody else. Now here's where it gets interesting and confusing. Verse 30, throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, in that place where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Throw him out into outer darkness, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, I know that sounds like hell. It does. It has that ring to it, that feel to it. But it's not. These are slaves of the master. They belong to the master. So the master owns these guys. These are not unrelated to the master. They are related and owned by him. Secondly, the issue has nothing to do with eternal life. The issue has to do with the kind of work you performed. And you're not saved by your work, you're saved by grace, apart from works. So this has nothing to do with going to heaven, because this has to do with reward for work. And you don't get to heaven by being rewarded for work. By grace are you saved, through faith, not according to works, so that no man should boast. So this is not hell. The phrase outer darkness and the weeping and gnashing of teeth is a Semitic phrase that means profound regret. Weeping, you're crying, you're sad. Gnashing of teeth, profound regret. Many, if not most of the people in here have varying levels of regret. Things that you look back on and you say, when you think about it, you go, I would have done this differently, said this differently, been there differently. I would have done it differently if I could do it over again. And there are regrets. And depending on what it is, the profundity of it can express itself in a deep way. I will cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. Okay, what does this mean? When Jesus Christ returns, He is returning to set up his millennial kingdom. That is the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth. When Christ comes back, he loops around the sun. For the Bible says that the whole world will see him. And he will make his entrance and he will land, the Bible says, on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem. And the Bible says that in Jerusalem, he will set up his throne to rule the earth with a rod of iron, to rule it by force. No open rebellion. And the earth will be what God intended it to be. The lion will lay down with the lamb. All of those scriptures that talk about not heaven up there, heaven down here on earth. As Jesus Christ rules the earth as king of the earth, for remember, it's his. He then will assign believers, Christians, to varying levels of responsibility based on their faithful kingdom stewardship. Some will be over cities, some will be over states, some will be over countries, some will be over communities. There will be varying levels of responsibility handed out and varying, watch this, levels of excitement. Everybody is not going to be as excited as everybody else. I know what you're saying. You said, wait a minute. You're messing me up about heaven. Yeah, I thought we all get to heaven, you know, it's just fun and games. How can I be in heaven, be a Christian, be a slave of Jesus, and have profound regret the same way God can be in heaven and say in Genesis 6, I regret that I made man. God is a perfect being. He lives in a perfect place, yet he can feel regret. Let me try to paint a picture of this for you. When I was a teenager, one of the things my father would do when he could afford to do it was take us to an amusement park in Baltimore. Usually it was Gwin Oak Amusement Park or Timonium Fair. And I love amusement parks. I love the rides and the roller coasters, and the wilder the ride, the more exciting it was. And the four of us, we got in the car and went to the amusement park. On one particular occasion, I had been misbehaving. My father said to all four of the children, come on, jump in the car. It's time to go to the park. I jumped in the car. I'm part of the family. I'm my father's son. So we get in the car, we get to the amusement park. My father goes and he buys tickets to get on the rides. He then looks at me and says, Tony, you have not been behaving yourself, so you don't get to ride today. Once he said that, there was weeping and gnashing of teeth. You don't get to ride today because you have not been behaving. So I had to sit down and watch my two brothers and sisters have fun riding, come by me talking about how great the roller coaster was. As I said, now make no mistake, I'm in the park. And I'm with the family, but I'm not participating in all the rides. So every believer is going to heaven, but not every believer is getting tickets. In a hockey game, there is a penalty box. When you do an infraction on the ice, they put you in the box. You're still on the team. You're still in the facility, but for a period of time, you are a non-participant because you have been excluded for the infraction. What he is saying is that God is not going to ignore the fact that you ignored your stewardship. Yes, salvation is free. Heaven is free. The price has already been paid. But your stewardship is a responsibility. And the only way you will meet that responsibility is if you give up ownership and say, I am a manager of all that you've entrusted to me, and now I want to manage it according to the owner's specifications. And that includes your life and everything associated with it.
That's a pretty serious challenge, and Dr. Evans will return in a moment with a final thought that can change your perspective on how worthwhile it is. First, though, God has designed us to make an eternal impact, and kingdom stewardship helps us understand how we can live that calling out in practical ways. In this powerful resource, Dr. Evans explains how aligning our priorities with God's kingdom brings purpose, clarity, and direction. When you make a contribution to help keep the alternative on the air, we'll send you the Kingdom Stewardship book, along with the full 2-volume audio series, a comprehensive study guide, and a leader's kit with downloadable video teaching sessions, resources you can use on your own or to lead others as you consider these life-changing principles. To get all the details, just visit TonyEvans.org today and look for the Kingdom Stewardship offer right on the homepage. Or if it's more convenient, you can give one of our resource team members a call at 1-800-800-3222. They're ready to help with your request any time of the day or night. Again, that's TonyEvans.org or by phone at 1-800-800-3222. And before Tony returns to wrap up today, I'd like to encourage you to consider joining us for A Journey Through Israel with Tony Evans this October. Dr. Evans will be teaching as we visit places like Jerusalem and the Sea of Galilee, plus many more Holy Land sites you've read about but have probably never experienced firsthand. To learn more, visit TonyEvans.org. Believers are often quick to remember that God provides, but slow to remember that He provides for a purpose. Next time, Dr. Evans describes the kind of managers God wants us to be and tells us what can happen when we stray from that divine plan. Right now, he's back to wrap up today with these perspective-changing comments.
I want to be honest here because God can do a better job owning me than me can do owning me. Okay? I'm not smart enough to own me. Make too many mistakes, too many dumb thoughts, too many ridiculous actions. I'm not smart enough to own me. And nobody is.
That's right.
Let me put it this way. I don't like squash. Squash just doesn't do it for me. But if you said to me, Evans, if you will agree to eat squash every day for a year, I will pay for all of your groceries for the rest of your life. I can tell you now, my attitude towards squash is going to change. Because now I'm looking at something I don't prefer through a different lens. I'm looking at the long-term benefit that's going to outweigh the short-term inconvenience. See, if all you see is what's right in front of you right now, and you don't believe Jesus is coming back in any serious way, and that those rewards are going to blow your mind, then you are going to take the position of an owner. But if you're willing to take the faith risk that everything I have belongs to Him and I want to use it, yes, it will benefit me. Yes, it will benefit others. But at the same time, it's all designed to benefit Him as the owner. And you will adopt that worldview as a kingdom steward. I can guarantee you, based on the word of God, that He is going to blow your mind when He calls for your audit. Now, you can't change yesterday, but you can do a lot about tomorrow.